front of the mic and not to the side of it if you can.
Okay, so this is good?
Yes.
Okay. Greetings, greetings. Greetings from the Feast of Tabernacles here in Oregon. And this is the last of a set of four presentations, Yahuwah's Kingdom Preparations. And I'm going to be concentrating on the book of Revelations and then making a few brief conclusions. So we started out with an introduction in which we talked about the fact that the gospel message is a message concerning Yahuwah's kingdom coming to this earth and Yahuwah making his dwelling with us. We looked at scriptures in the Old Testament or the writings that were before Yahusha came to earth, and we saw that Yahuwah is faithful and he has been working on his plan for many, many centuries and millennia, and he is still working on the plan. That's what we saw in part two. And in part three, we looked at the fact that when Yahusha was on the earth, he did preach about the gospel of the kingdom, and he made it plain that there would be a kingdom and that he was born to be a king. His disciples after him, John and James and Peter and Paul, all also understood the kingdom message and did deliver that to those that they preached to. So it's well established that Yahuwah is working out his plan here below, and he's doing it in his own way and in his own time. So today we're going to look at Revelation and how it culminates in chapter 20 and 21 and 22. Now, I want to point out that, as we all know, the book of Revelation is the concluding book of the New Testament. And I'm one of those that sometimes call it the book of Revelations, but that's not the title, right? It's Revelation. But of course, we're given many revelations in there concerning the things that Yahuwah is doing on this earth, has done, is doing, and will do. The book opens with messages to the seven churches or assemblies. And those messages were for churches at that time, but it also is for us today, because it is said after each message, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So if we have an ear, then we need to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the book of Revelation concludes with Yahuwah's kingdom established and Yahuwah dwelling with man. So Revelation reveals earthly and heavenly events through time, and everything culminates with a fulfilled gospel message of Yahuwah's kingdom for all and over all. So that is what we have in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to remind you that my goal in this whole series, part one, part two, part three, and now part four, was not and is not to explain any hidden or to reveal any hidden or new truth. My goal is just to read some of Yahuwah's written word that he has provided for our knowledge and edification, with the goal being that I want to encourage us to be about Yahuwah's kingdom life and about his kingdom business, and for us to be being kings and queens and priests, and that we are also preparing for the ultimate fulfillment of his kingdom on this earth, and we will be fulfilling whatever roles he has for us in that kingdom. So, at this point, I want to point out 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Paul wrote to Timothy that all scripture is breathed by Elohim, or Yah, Yahuwah, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for straightening, for instruction in righteousness, that man, and that's human, right? Woman and man, all of us, of Elohim, we might be fitted, equipped for every good work. So every scripture that we have covered this time from part one, part two, part three, and now from the Old Testament scriptures, the New Testament, and the book of Revelation, everything is written for our reproof, for our straightening, for our instruction in righteousness, that we can be equipped for the good work that Yahuwah has us to do. And so that's what we are to remember, that these scriptures are for us. Matthew covered the book of Revelation in a series of teachings that included 22 parts, correct? So I'm not trying in this 1 hour and less than an hour now to give you every, you know, little understanding concerning all the prophecies of Revelations. There's no way that I can do that, okay? So if you want in-depth understanding concerning what is meant and what is included in the book of Revelations, you can go back and you can refer and refresh yourself with that 22-part teaching. But I am going to be mentioning some of the scriptures because it goes with the theme of the gospel of the kingdom that Yahusha preached and the kingdom that's being prepared for us. So my purpose is to encourage us to believe Yahuwah's word, to encourage us to be Yahuwah's kings and priests now and in the future, to remind us that we need to be faithful servants, because that's the theme that we find, right? No matter where we are in the course of history, human history, Yahuwah has called us from darkness to light. He's given us his spirit, and we are to be faithful, growing in grace and knowledge, right? Wisdom and understanding, developing character that would be Yahuwah's character, so that we can be those good lights. We need to trust that Yahuwah is almighty, right? He's almighty. He has called us to be servants, and we are called to do certain things as his servants. So we can think of it in terms of we are helping, but overall, he doesn't need us to direct him, right? Concerning his ultimate plan and goal that he has for us. Yahuwah doesn't need me to tell him that it needs to be this way, in accordance with what I think I understand from my studies or someone else's studies or from what I've been taught or I read or whatever. Yahuwah doesn't need me to do that. Yahuwah needs me to be a faithful servant who will be led by his spirit, who will trust that he knows what he's doing, why he is doing it. When he will do what he wants to do, he will do. And I need be aware of that, right? I just need to be trying to say, Father, however you want to use me, I'm available. That's what I think Paul was talking about, making our present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for his service, right? So we want to be his willing and faithful servants, doing those things that he calls us to do, but we're not trying to direct him and tell him that it has to be the way we understand it or the way we want it to be or the way that we think it should be, right? We all understand that, right? So Yahuwah will do what he chooses, when and how he chooses. Yahuwah's plans and designs will be accomplished. That is what we have been honing in on so far, right? Yahuwah is faithful. He's almighty. He's trustworthy. He has, you know, said things centuries ago that he's bringing to pass even now. So that is what we are to be focused on. We talked about a kingdom, having a king and territory and a government and organization and all of that. And we understand that part of the reason that we're here at this feast and we observe this Sabbath and his whole other holy days is because we are learning his culture. We are a part of his kingdom. We are his citizens, and he is our king. So that is what we are to be reminded of as well. Now, we looked at the someone else's belief, maybe that there were eight different kinds of kingdoms. You don't have to agree with that. But when we look at Revelations, you will see that there are kingdoms of the world or Gentile kingdoms, real kingdoms, right? Babylon and Persia and all these other places that were prophesied about Daniel. It talks about kings and kingdoms coming up that will be subdued at the coming of Yahushua. We see that. We see that many of these kings and kingdoms are going to be influenced by what the powers of darkness. So there is this concept of maybe Satan's kingdom and the demons that he is ruling over. And of course, we know that Yahuwah sits high in his kingdom and he is ruling over all. And as we said, he is patient. He's patient, but he will act when he chooses to act. And then in the end, we are looking forward to the ultimate kingdom in which Yahushua has given everything back to his father and it is ruling. And we're reading about his tabernacle coming and he's dwelling with us. So this is nothing new, right? But it is something for us to be reminded of. So we read in Revelations 1:1, the revelation of Yahushua Messiah, which Yahuwah gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of Yahuwah and of the testimony of Yahushua Messiah and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So this is a message that John was given from the kingdom of Yahuwah, from Yahuwah's throne in the heavens, right? He gave it to Yahuwah's spiritual kingdom on the earth. That was to John and the other assemblies, those assemblies that were worshiping Yahuwah. So this was given from Yahuwah's kingdom to his servants who were making up his kingdom here on the earth. John is writing to the seven assemblies, and he says to them, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Yahushua Messiah, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So Yahushua Messiah, our Redeemer, is the one that makes it possible for us to be in a relationship with Yahuwah. And Yahushua is referred to as the prince of the kings of the earth. So he will rule over all and does rule over all. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. So this means that the kingdom of Yahuwah in the heavens has given Yahushua rulership and power over all earthly Gentile kingdoms. So Yahushua now has dominion over all. 1 Corinthians tells us that 1 Corinthians 15:20 and through 24, it tells us, but now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, afterwards they that are Messiahs at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahuwah, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. So what do we see from this reading? We see that there will be different resurrections, and those are spoken of in the book of Revelations, right? We say Yahushua first as the first fruits, and then after that, those that are his that is coming. And then we see what I've been saying about the fact that at the end, when all these worldly kingdoms, these Gentile kingdoms, these human kingdoms, you know, all these great powers that exist now and may exist at some point in the future, because we don't know how long it'll be before Yahushua comes, right? It could be very soon, or it could be hundreds of years from now. We don't know. But when he comes, all those powers, all those kingdoms are going to be put down. And then he's going to then present everything to the Father. Okay? So this is what we read in scriptures. And if we read it, this in scriptures and we believe it, then it is what is to come to pass. We believe that it will happen, right? It's not just, you know, a fairy tale. Not for us that believe in the word, right? 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he himself is accepted, which put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that Yahuwah may be all in all. So that's what we're going to be seeing happening at the end in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:6 tells us, and he hath made us kings and priests unto Yahuwah and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then it says, Yahusha speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. It says that when Yahusha comes, he will be coming from the kingdom of Yahuwah, and that all on the earth will see him. And we are to be kings and priests ruling with Yahusha. So we may not understand when and exactly how this will happen, but this is what the scripture says to us, right? That it will happen. That it will happen. Revelation 9, John, he identifies himself as a brother and a companion in tribulation. And he says he's in the kingdom and the patience of Yahusha Messiah. And John happened to be given this testimony. He was on the Isle of Patmos. So that, what does that tell us? That tells us that the kingdom of the world had acted in relation to John and what put him on that island. Yahuwah allowed that. And Yahuwah came to John and gave him the visions that he had. So we see a case of, again, Yahuwah allowing even the physical kingdoms to act upon his people, but it's according to his what he allowed. So I have stated here that John's, what he stated, his visions and everything were the reactions and interactions of maybe four different kingdoms, the kingdom of Yahuwah, the kingdom of Yahusha, which John was a part of here now, and then the Gentile kingdoms. And these Gentile kingdoms may have been influenced by the king of the power of darkness, right? So Satan's kingdom. So all of these may have been acting and interacting. See, a lot of things are happening behind the scenes that we don't quite see, right? It's just like when the angel came to Daniel, he said, you know, I would have been here earlier, but I was delayed because I had this fight, right? So you could see the physical fights that if you were alive at the time, you may have known the kingdoms were fighting against each other, but you may not have known that the angelic realm, they were fighting as well, right? So that's something for us to think about when we see these wars and things, right? Great spiritual powers are acting behind the scenes that we may not see. Powers of light, powers of darkness fighting against each other. But again, we are in Yahuwah's kingdom. And Yahuwah is almighty and he controls everything. And even if he allows something, he has a purpose that's being fulfilled. It's all according to his will. So John reports that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, is the way it's translated in the King James, right? Matthew says the King Jimmy, right? But now, the Lord's day. Now, that's the same as the day of the Lord, right? Some people say, oh, that means Sunday, Sunday. No, that's the day of the Lord. This is the time that is spoken of in you know, Isaiah and other places about when the wrath of Yahuwah will come. The day of the Lord, or the day of Yahuwah, right? So this is what he's seeing. He's seeing a vision of some things that are going to be happening ahead. So he sees one saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven assemblies which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos, and unto Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. So again, these were real churches, right, at the time that Paul was able to minister to and John was able to minister to. But the messages are for us as well, as we shall see. So let us be mindful of that. These are messages to his assemblies, to his groups, his people, his servants, but it's also that we're alive at the time, but it's also for us. So what are those messages? I'm going to summarize them. From reading through those messages, this is what I see as the message of Yahuwah to his kingdom on the earth, his spiritual kingdom. So Revelations 2:1 through 3:22, this is what I summarized. The message was repent and do the first works. Repent and do the first works. Overcome to eat from the tree of life. Be faithful unto death to receive a crown of life. Repent from false doctrines and sinful acts. Hold fast, overcome evil, keep Yahuwah's works to be given power and rulership over nations. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain. Hold fast to Yahuwah and repent of evil so that you will be dressed in white and have your name confessed before Yahuwah and have your name written in the book of life. Hold fast to Yahusha's words to escape tribulation and to receive a crown of life. Overcome to become a pillar in Yahuwah's temple and to receive a new name, Yahuwah's name, and the city name, New Jerusalem, that is coming down from heaven. Overcome your poverty, your wretchedness, your misery, your blindness, your nakedness, to sit with Yahusha on his throne. Be fervent, be zealous, be honest, be diligent, be wise, be repentant, and receive Yahuwah. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. So all of these messages are to us. We are to examine ourselves and overcome our spiritual poverty, our wretchedness, our iniquity, our misery, our nakedness. We are redeemed by the blood of Yahusha, yes, but we still need growth. And even when we think we are at our best, we still have work to do. Paul said, all of his so-called righteousness was as filthy rags. So Yahuwah is transforming us. He's calling us to be his people. He loves us. He has redeemed us. But we still need to be perfecting and growing and improving. And so that is what we need to do individually for ourselves. But we also must realize that our brethren that we see are doing the same, right? So that's why when we see an imperfection in each other, we can't be so extremely judgmental and, pointing the finger. What did Yahusha say? Why don't you get the beam out of your eye before you worry about what's in someone else's eye? That isn't to say that we can't recognize sin and that we shouldn't encourage each other, but let us be gracious and merciful and know that we're all working and we're all doing our best to clear things up, right? And then, of course, he says, who are you to judge another person's servant? So I'm just saying this for us to remember, because remember when I said when I was in the Holiness Church and I got so righteous that I hated my brothers, right? I was far from perfect. But in seeing myself as being holy, holier than them, right? I was very judgmental and very critical. So even though we are redeemed by the blood of Yahusha, and we know the truth, and we are Yahuwah's servants, we ourselves, if we're not careful, we can become what? Too judgmental of others. Let us be reminded that we are to be overcoming ourselves. Others are overcoming. We must be merciful and gracious and helpful. Let's pray for each other. Like I said the first time, if I say something wrong, if I'm in error, don't just beat me down. Pray for me. And then if you can give me some greater knowledge and understanding, do that, right? And that's how we should be with each other. Let's love each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's lift each other up. Okay? So just a reminder that these messages to the seven churches are to us. And after each message, it is stated, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. So it was written to the assemblies, but he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. I want to say it seven times because it's written seven times in the scriptures. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. He that hath an ear, do we have an ear? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. He that hath an ear, I pray that I have an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. I think that's the seventh time, so we can move on. Okay, to him that overcometh. So in addition to this is what you need to do, he says, what will be your reward if you overcome? So I'm summarizing that for you. He says, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Yahuwah. So where is that paradise of Yahuwah? In his kingdom, right? So to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. And that is the tree of life that Adam and Eve didn't eat from because they chose to listen to the half-truths of the enemy as opposed to trusting, following, and obeying Yahuwah, who is walking with them in the garden. So let us be mindful, and everybody else be mindful, that we have choices, right? Yahuwah doesn't, we're not robots. We're not slaves that are without free will. We can choose to follow Yahuwah, or we can choose to follow the powers of darkness. Every day, every moment, every temptation, we have a choice. Do we follow Yahuwah? Or do we follow what we know is not of him? He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This is Revelation 2:11. So there's a first death, there's a second death. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna and will give him a white stone and in the stone a new name written which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. That's that kingship, that rulership that we're talking about, right? Power over the nations. Nations is another way of saying kingdoms. Power over the kingdoms. And he shall rule them with the rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. This is Yahusha speaking. So again, this echoes what was written in Daniel some 2,700 years ago, right? That those kingdoms are going to be destroyed and they're going to be blown away, right? Dust. Revelation 2:28, and I will give him the morning star, the morning star. And then I read that and I said, well, what is the morning star? What is the morning star? Who knows what the morning star is? Okay, what is the morning star? Revelation 22:16, Yahusha says, I, Yahusha, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So, we're going to be given Yahusha. Yahusha is the morning star. So that means what? We're going to be given what Yahusha provides for us. Forgiveness, redemption, kingship, sonship, life eternal. This is what we get if we overcome. Okay? We'll be given the morning star. We'll be given Yahusha. Yahusha is the morning star, the bright and morning star. So forgiveness, redemption, kingship, sonship, eternal life in Yahuwah's kingdom. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of Yahuwah, and he will go no more out, and I will write unto him upon him the name of Yahuwah and the name of the city of my mighty one, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my mighty one, and I will write upon him my new name. Now, of course, if you read King James, this is my God, my God, my God. So I put in Yahuwah and Mighty One, Almighty. But we understand what it's saying. So overcomers will get this. You'll get white raiment. You'll have your name in the book of life. You'll have Yahuwah's name written on you. You'll be able to be in the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven. And so, again, this is Revelation chapter 3. But it's echoing what's in Revelation chapter 22 and 21. And it's also echoing what was written in Isaiah. In Isaiah, there was the new heavens and the new earth. There was the new Jerusalem coming down. So again, Isaiah was written almost 2,700 years ago, according to people, right? So 3,000 years ago almost, Yahuwah has been working. He's been working. He's been preparing. He's been working. Yahusha said that the kingdom was prepared before the foundations of the world. I read that last time. I think it was Matthew 25, 24, 26, something like that. But he's prepared the kingdom, but he's still working out when he's going to bring it and how he's going to bring it and what's going to happen beforehand, right? So that's all still in the works. So, but it is a long-range plan. It's not something that is, you know, haphazard in that end. Now, there is the talk of what he says, I will write upon him my new name. So what is name? What is name? Name. Name is, it can be, you know, literally what you're called, right? But it's also about character and authority, right? So that he's going to give you something that's representative of the character and the authority that he's going to give you in your new name. So Revelation 3:21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So how did Yahusha overcome? He overcame by what? Coming to this earth as an obedient servant and giving his life down for us and everyone else, right? He came and he had power over the enemy. In other words, that prophecy from Genesis about him crushing the head, Yahusha succeeded in doing that. He overcame. He fulfilled his assignment. And as a result of that, he was able to sit down with his Father in his throne. And so he's telling us that if we overcome, that he's going to grant that we will be able to sit with him on his throne. So overcomers will enter Yahuwah's kingdom and reign as kings and priests. We're told this. Having dominion is the same as reigning, right? So we're told this. So this is what is ahead for us. A real kingdom reigning over all humanity. Even if he allows nations to exist, because we read in Zechariah and part of it that you know, you know, nations have to come and keep the feast. At the end, when the kingdom comes down, New Jerusalem's a new earth, this is all that we know, is what he tells us, right? So what will happen in all eternity beyond that and how he will arrange it, that is up to Yahuwah to decide, right? That is up to Yahuwah. And that's the thing I want to, more than anything else, I want to get across is even if we read all these events that are to take place in the book of Revelation, Revelation, even if we read all these events, first of all, we need to realize that we may not necessarily understand exactly how they will unfold, the sequencing of it. We may not understand all of that, and that's okay because we don't have the mind of Yahuwah yet. We see darkly, dimly as through a mirror from Corinthians. But at the same time, Yahuwah can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do. And the events may not even be written in sequence in the book of Revelations for us to try and put them in order. But even if we understood everything that's revealed there, not everything is revealed. Because we can read there where, if I remember correctly, John heard the voice of the seven thunders, right? And he was about to write it. And he was told, don't write this. So even if we think we understand everything that's been revealed, not everything was written for us to know. Yes? Okay. So just keep in mind that Yahuwah will do what he wants to do, when he wants to, how he wants to. And we don't need to understand it all. We just need to believe it and know what he's given us in his word. And if we don't understand exactly what he's going to do, when he's going to do, why he's going to do, how he's going to do, we don't need to. Yahuwah understands. Yahuwah is in control. So again, what's stated about the breaking of the rods is similar to what was given in Daniel. And I really won't really read it, except I'll say this from Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings, this is the vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw about the being with the representing the kingdoms. He said, in the days of these kings shall the mighty one or El of heaven set up a kingdom. Excuse me. Which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So that's the thing, that Yahuwah's kingdom is going to stand forever. It's going to break the other kingdoms, and it's going to stand forever. Now, when in one of my former affiliations, everybody wanted to be in the Philadelphia church, right? Because the Philadelphia church seemed to be the best one. Philadelphia church seemed to be the one performing the best, right? So I'm going to read for you here what it says to the Philadelphia church. It says, behold, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man open. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, but thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, how it is they did not deny his name when they didn't even think he had a name other than the Lord of God, I don't know. But anyway, but I have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So Yahuwah is going to be prevailing over. His kingdom is going to be prevailing over the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of Satan. But the important thing is this idea that what you have kept his word, right? And you have not denied his name. So that is what we are to be doing, keeping his word, believing his word, living in accordance with his word. He says in Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and to try them that dwell upon the earth. So again, there is going to be a time that everybody on the earth is going to be tried, tested. They're going to experience the wrath of Yahuwah. So Yahuwah is going to act against all the Gentile kingdoms and all the nations, but he will protect his people when he acts. Now, that doesn't mean that none of Yahuwah's people have ever suffered death of the sword. We know that's not the case, right? It has happened from the time of the apostles, right? I hear that Nero was burning some of them, right, in the arena, feeding them to lions. Nothing like that has happened to us, but all throughout human history, we have record of believers being tortured and killed. And that may yet be ahead for some of us, but obviously he is saying that some will be protected and that will not happen. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my mighty one, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of Yahuwah and the name of the city of Yahuwah, New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, and I will write upon him my name. So the kingdom of Yahuwah comes to New Jerusalem and becomes the Father's kingdom. And that's what we read about in Revelations 21, 22, and so on. So I think I've made enough of the point to say that Yahuwah's kingdom is real. He wants us to be faithful, to overcome, and he has great blessings for us. So I have a lot of scriptures here. I'm probably not going to read them all, but I'm sure we have all read them, right? So let's just take from it that, I guess the way I would summarize it, I'll read some of the scriptures, but what I'm going to summarize is this: what John is able to see in the heavens and write for us are events that will take place in history. And in general, there are, when the seven seals are open, let's say, I'll read about those because that echoes what was written in Matthew. You've got the white horse, you've got the red horse, the black horse, and what's recorded as the pale horse or green horse, right? Green horse. You have that happening, and he's saying that these are events that are going to come before the end, before the end. And those seals, we looked at, when we were looking in part two, we looked at the fact that Yahuwah can use any means and any natural elements, human elements, angelic beings that he wants to fulfill his purpose, right? So in my mind, when those seals are open, he's allowing the human powers, he's releasing the seals, he's letting loose, he's letting the powers of darkness influence the kingdoms of the earth to do certain things, right? To cause famine and pestilence and to kill some of the believers. Yahuwah is obviously not killing his people. He's allowing the powers and the forces to do that. And then when the seven trumpets come, it's sort of like that's the beginning of Yahuwah's wrath being spread out, poured out. That's when he's going to protect his people. He's going to seal them and so on and so forth. And then there's the war and the fighting, right? Putting down the kingdoms, subduing the kingdoms. And we're told that a great number that nobody can number comes out of the tribulation, right? So these are people that Yahuwah calls. Again, it may not be the way we think it might be, but we're told that a great number that no man can number comes out of tribulation. We're also told that the kingdoms of this world are hiding themselves from Yahuwah at one point, right? Wanting to hide in the mountains. And at another point, they're fighting against him, right? And then at another point, what are they? They are worshiping him. So all of this happens, and Yahuwah is using angels and kingdoms and fire and darkness and so on, thunder and lightning and whatever he chooses. So this is what we are to get from this book of Revelations. And then he ultimately ends up with the resurrections, the judgment, and then the kingdom. And whoever he decides is going to be in the kingdom is going to be in the kingdom. So Revelations 4 says, John looked and he's in the spirit and he saw a throne set up in heaven and one that sat on the throne, and there were 24 elders about, and they were worshiping him, worshiping the one that was set on the throne. The elders had their crowns and so on. So there are beings that are just waiting for Yahushua to do Yahushua's bidding. So there were four beasts there at the throne. This is in Revelations 4, 8 through 11. There were 24 elders, and they all were falling down before Yahuwah, and praising him on the throne. And it is stated that they are saying, you are in praise. They are saying, you are able to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things for thy pleasure. They were created. So we were created for Yahuwah's pleasure, right? So remember Job, where he says, you shall have the desire, you know, for your creation, essentially, right? And that's when he was going to resurrect us. So he desires to be with us. We're created for his pleasure. That's why he's going to come down and dwell with us and make his tabernacle with us. So we talk about the seven seals, right? A book was written, and on the back side, it was sealed with seven seals, and there seemed to be no one in the kingdom able to open it. And they were told that there was someone, okay? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And that's when John says he looked and saw someone, a lamb that looked like he was slain. So this is about Yahushua, right? Having prevailed in what he came to do on the earth so that he could open those seals. So again, these seals are being opened. These seals are being opened. Those that were before the throne sang a song in worship of Yahushua. He says, for thou wast slain. This is a part of what they sung in the song. And has redeemed us to Yahuwah by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So this is what was being sung. So he saw in there what obviously singing people or beings that had been redeemed by Yahushua. And they said they were redeemed out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So it just wasn't for one little group of people, right? They were every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelations 5:10, it again talks about the fact that we've been made kings and priests and we shall reign on the earth. Now, I'm just, before I read these seals being opening, I'm just going to not read the whole thing, but in Matthew 24, 1 through whatever, right? On down to 25 months and so on. More past that, we have Yahushua again saying to his disciples when they're asking him, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of your coming? So one thing he says is he says, take heed that no man deceive you. This is in Matthew 24, 4. For many shall come in my name saying, I am the Christ or the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. So you're going to have people coming in his name, deceiving many. That to me sounds like false religion, false stuff. You're deceiving people, even though you're saying the Messiah is the Christ, right? And then rumors of wars and wars. So wars, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24:9 says, They shall, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another, and false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And then he talks again about Matthew 24:14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto the nations, and then the end shall come. Okay, so we see that these things are going to happen, Yahushua says, in the end. Matthew 24:29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So when exactly will this happen? I don't know. You don't know. But it doesn't matter. Yahuwah knows. Yahuwah knows. And Yahuwah will do it when he says he will do it. Yahushua said not even the angels knew. Only the Father knew. We just know that it's going to happen. Right? So he tells us that we are to be watching. Right? Watching. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:36. But he tells us that we are to what? Learn, you know, and to be watching. To learn and to be watching. He says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. This is Matthew 24:44. So we ought to be watching and waiting and doing the Father's business as Yahushua did when he came on the earth, as best as we can. So we read in Revelation 6, these seals are open. So it says here that I saw an angel, and behold, a white horse when the first seal was open. And he sat on him, had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. So that was the white horse. And then the second seal was open, and there was a red horse. And the power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So this sounds like wars and rumors of wars, right? If we're taking peace from the earth, then there's war. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse that sat on him, and a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Okay? Now, someone taught that they thought this black horse had to do with capitalism and the fact that you have commerce and that you have these scales, because, and for a penny, it's like you're selling stuff. So this gentleman, I'll just mention him, he's dead now, but he thought Yah had called him to set up a ministry in Jerusalem to minister to the people in Israel about the coming of the Messiah. I think he died in COVID. I think his name was, I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, he's the first one that pointed out that the pale horse was actually a green horse. So in his way of thinking, the white horse had to do with false religion, Catholicism, and the Crusades, and killing people and everything. And then the red horse had to do with communism and all the murder and killing that was done at that time. And then the black horse had to do with capitalism and all the killing and murder that had to do with the wars that related to capitalism. And the pale or green horse had to do with Muslims, that whole thing with, because that was their color. So, you know, red was the color associated with communism, and white was the color associated with Catholicism. And black was the association color with capitalism and, you know, being in the black, meaning you're making money, right? And then green was the association with the Muslim faith. Now, he may have been totally wrong, but at the same time, there could have been some truth to that. But again, it doesn't matter if we know or don't know. Yahuwah knows. Yahuwah is coming to do his wrath when he decides his time. But I'm just saying that to say that the things that are prophesied to take place will take place. And as we're watching, let us not think that everything is just necessarily so far off in the future. There are some things that could have been fulfilled that whether we realize it or not, right? So we need to be diligent and waiting. Because what did he say? At a time that you think not, he might come, right? As a matter of fact, when we were being asked to give a verse, I didn't give a verse, but what came to my mind was, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And that's what he says at the end, behold, I come quickly. So the fifth seal was opening. You have souls that are slain for the word of Yahuwah, and they start saying, how long, O Yahuwah, holy and true, does not thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So this is, again, Revelation 6:10. So that was leading me to think, well, Yahuwah was allowing this to happen because you have his servants asking, how long before you avenge our blood? How long before you do something about what's happening, what has happened to us? So the sixth seal is open, and then we have the sun became black, and the moon became as blood. The stars fell from heaven. The heavens departed as a scroll was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. Okay? So he's using the elements, nature, creation, to do his bidding. And it says the kings of the earth, this is Revelation 6, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And he said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So Yahuwah allowed things to happen. He may have used nations and kingdoms and wars and pestilence and famines and things that are caused by the forces of darkness. And then he intervenes and he decides that now my wrath has come. And everybody understands that he has come and they are wanting to be hidden. So in Revelation chapter 7, he says to the angels, so again, Yahuwah is in full control now. This is his day of wrath. And he says to the angels on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the trees. And he says what? Don't hurt the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of Yahuwah in their foreheads. Okay, and it shows that he sealed 144,000. This is in Revelations chapter 7. And that 144,000 included what? 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. But after that, Revelation 7:9, it is recorded, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, right, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So we had the sealing before the beginning of Yahuwah's great wrath, right? We had the sealing of the 144,000, which are from the tribes of 12 tribes of Israel. But at the same time, after that, there's a number, a great multitude. You can't number this multitude of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stood there, what? Before the throne in white robes. We were promised white robes if we overcome, right? So these are overcomers, right? And they cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our Yahuwah, or our mighty one, who sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped Yahuwah, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto Yahuwah forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so this is saying what? Well, we'll see what's saying, because the question is asked, who are these? And then the angel tells them. But these are people in white robes of all nations and kindreds and tongues. And so John was asked, who were these people? Who are they? And John said, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of Yahuwah and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. What did Yahushua say? Come unto me. If you're thirsty, you're hungry, you're burdened. They shall hunger no more, thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and Yahuwah shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So this tells me that if these people came out of tribulation, they came out of tribulation, that means they might not have known Yahuwah beforehand, right? But he made it possible for them to know him. They were redeemed out of tribulation. They came through that. The seventh seal was opened and the trumpets were opened. And then you have, after the trumpets start being opened, you have things that are happening, right? So the angel took the censer and he filled it with the fire from the altar and cast it to the earth. There was thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes and so on. So the seven trumpets are there. The first trumpet sounds. There's hail. And this is the wrath of Yahuwah now. As a result of these trumpets, we've got hail. The second angel comes. There's a mountain burning that's thrown into the sea. And the third angel sounds. There's wormwood and all of this. And so you just have the wrath of Yahuwah coming. The fifth angel and so on. So again, I'm not going to try to go over into all of that. But I'm just saying Yahuwah's wrath comes. And whether he uses human kingdoms to do his bidding, or he uses nature to do his bidding, or he uses angels to do his bidding is being done. Okay? And when the sixth angel sounded, it said, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. So again, Yahuwah has his timing. He decided when those angels would be loosed, right? So, but now what happens? You have all of this stuff taking place, and I'm going to be wrapping it up in a few minutes, so I'm going to, you know, do that. So don't worry, I'm not going to hold you much longer. But here in Revelation 9, I think what I want you to see is that what happens, it says, as a result of what is unfolding with these trumpets and everything, there were what? Third part of men were killed by fire and by the smoke and by brimstone. And guess what happened? Okay? And the rest of men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and the idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts, right? So they didn't, everybody didn't just say, oh, Yahuwah has arrived and he's, you know, punishing us. Let us just submit. No, there was rebellion and there was war and there was, you know, lack of repentance. There was lack of repentance. But at the end, what we see, is that those that came through and ended up in the kingdom, they are the ones who did repent and did submit. Okay? So when the seventh angel sounded, the mystery of God is what is written here. So of Yahuwah should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And then there was a voice that he heard from heaven saying, he told him to take the book and eat it up. And he said unto me to go ahead and prophesy. So he's telling John to prophesy again before many peoples and nations and kings. So after that, we have so many other things happening in the heavens that we, you know, have given there. And I won't go through all of that. I'll just get to the point where we end up with Yahuwah coming. We have earthquakes and other things happening, and just things that Yahuwah is allowing to happen. When we get down to, in the end, after you have the rebellion and the war and so many other things shown, we end up with what? The kingdoms of this world becoming those that are ruled by Yahusha. And then Yahusha is eventually turning everything over to Yahuwah. We have Babylon falling, and we have those being tortured. Revelation 15, great and marvelous are thy works, Yahuwah Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. This is recorded in Revelation 15. So let me just get to the end. Again, you can go through Matthew's 22 part series if you want to get all the details in between. So the point is, Yahuwah is working out his plan. He's doing what he's doing. He's preparing. He's going to be the one that redeems those that are redeemed. And he is going to be the one to decide who will be redeemed, right? And when they will be redeemed and how they will be redeemed and, you know, whether or not they get to come into his kingdom. There is one verse I'm looking for. What it shows, I think it shows, is the conversion of some of those kings that were fighting against Yahuwah. Revelation 17 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is a master of masters and king of kings, or lord of lords and king of kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this is the idea again that Yahusha is going to be reigning over all of the kingdoms. So we have that. Talk about Babylon and how the merchants were made rich and all of that. So Revelation 18:19, it says, and they cast dust on their heads. So these are some of the ones who survived, right? And cried, weeping and wailing. And they're saying that, you know, Babylon is desolate and so on. So there is going to be suffering. There's going to be suffering. But eventually, we get to the place where I heard a great voice of much people in the heavens saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto Yahuwah Almighty, our mighty one, our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth and hath avenged the blood of his servants. Revelations 19:16 says, it's talking about when Yahushua is returning, right? On a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and that he does judge and make war. And again, he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let me get to Revelation chapter 20, which is where we're going to, right? And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, right? And we talk about after that, there's the millennium, 1,000 years. So when and how that all plays out in the scheme of things, Yahuwah knows. Yahuwah knows. Yahuwah knows. Revelation 21, 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yah out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yah is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahuwah himself shall be with them and be their mighty one. And Yahuwah shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So that is the kingdom that we're looking forward to. And it says here, he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give him unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his mighty one, and he will be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and all the others that are sinners, basically, shall have their part in the lake which burneth. So we go on down, and toward the end, the last thing, Revelations 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear and as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahuwah and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Yahuwah and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For Yahuwah Almighty giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So that is what the kingdom that we're seeking, right? As I said, in Revelation 27:7, Yahushua said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings and the prophecies of this book. Okay, so this is what we've been looking forward to. Behold, I come quickly. Again, it's stated in 22:12. And my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do its commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Again, Revelation 22. Surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. So in conclusion, the gospel message is a message that Yahuwah's eternal kingdom is coming to rule over all. Yahushua first came to prevail over the kingdom of darkness, that is Satan and his demonic forces. He came to prevail over them so that he could establish his kingdom, that we could be translated into that kingdom, as Paul said, now, and be representatives of Yahuwah's kingdom on this earth. But we are also looking forward to the ultimate fulfillment of that when Yahushua shall come as King of Kings and Master of Masters, Lord of Lords, and he shall rule over all, and he shall, what, put all earthly kingdoms down and return this kingdom to the Father. So Yahushua came first to prevail. Yahushua will soon return to defeat the Gentile kingdoms and the kingdom of Satan, finally, eternally. And Yahushua will remove Satan and his influence from the earth. We are spiritual kings and priests in Yahushua's kingdom of heaven on earth. Now we will be kings and priests and his eternal kingdom. Later, we will be reigning as kings and priests when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yahushua will redeem many, including some of the Gentile kingdoms, because it's from every nation and kindred and tongue and language and so on. So Yahuwah knows what he's doing. All who will worship Yahuwah and enter his kingdom will be converted, right? Will be redeemed by Yahushua. Yahuwah and Yahushua will reign forever in new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem. So again, my final statement to you is, when it happens, how it happens, everything that happens, Yahuwah is in control, and he will do it how he wants to, when he wants to, the way he wants to, even if we don't quite understand it, right? Or we don't agree with what we think might be happening. We don't have to know the timing, and we don't have to know the specific detailing. We just need to know that our Yahuwah is almighty. He is making kingdom preparations for us. He has called us to be kings and priests, and we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be about his kingdom life. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Yahuwah, for his blessings.